We're currently at 43 degrees. It's coming up on 12 noon. This show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. That's the overture to Mozart's opera, The Marriage of Figaro. And that's by way of sort of an introduction to the opera we're going to be focusing on during today's Live and Local, which is an opera by Rossini, which adapts essentially the same story. It's called The Barber of Seville, and the University of Illinois School of Music Opera Program will be presenting that opera next week, Thursday through Saturday, through Sunday, March 1st through the 4th. With evening performances Thursday through Saturday and a matinee on Sunday. And we'll be having coming up some live performances, highlights from that opera. We have the stage director, who is Gerald Sienna, on the voice faculty at the University of Illinois, who happened to have sung one of the leading roles in that opera numerous times. And Mozart, as I indicated, actually beat Rossini to the punch, not least because he was born before Rossini. And I thought before we get to music from Rossini's opera, we'd hear some more excerpts from Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro. Some of the characters are the same, including the barber, who is Figaro, and the character of Dr. Bartolo, character of Don Basilio, and Count Almaviva, who is the lover who is after. Well, now that's what varies a little bit from between the two operas, along with other things as well. But here are some excerpts from The Marriage of Figaro as arranged for wind instruments. It was a common thing to have been done in Mozart's day, where you take operatic excerpts and arrange them for sort of a standard group of wind instruments, a couple of oboes, pairs of clarinets, horns and bassoons as well. Johann Nepomuk Wendt took a number of these and arranged them for winds. Here they are from Mozart's Marriage of Figaro on Live and Local. Those were a few excerpts taken from Mozart's opera, The Marriage of Figaro, as arranged by Johann Nepomuk Wendt for eight wind instruments and played by the Budapest Wind Ensemble. Coming up, live in our studio, highlights from Rossini's opera based on the same story. It's called The Barber of Seville, and the University of Illinois School of Music Opera Program will be presenting that opera next week, Thursday through Sunday. Stay tuned. Thanks to the 332 listeners who made a pledge of support during our February pledge drive. You raised more than $42,000 for WYLL. And thanks to Common Ground Food Co-op, their partnership provides generous support to both WYLL and the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. And this local partnership this year provides nearly 2,600 meals to local families.
Thank you.
That was a portion of the overture to the opera The Barber of Seville by Gioachino Rossini and performed by the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, conducted by Claudio Abbado. You can hear the complete overture, of course, with the complete opera put on by the University of Illinois School of Music Opera Program. Next Thursday through Saturday, performances in the evening at 7:30 and a Sunday matinee on March 4th. At 3 o'clock at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. We are pleased to have on Live and Local for the rest of this hour three cast members from the show and also the stage director who, as it happens, has sung the lead role of Count Almaviva at least 30 times, more than 30 times, Gerald Sienna, who is voice faculty member at the University of Illinois and is stage director for this production. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank Pleasure. Pleasure being here.
And have to give full due as well to the chorus master, who's also been one of the accompanists for the preparation of this opera, Kara Chowning, who's with us to play for these folks as well. So I introduced the whole thing by playing music from a different opera, because Mozart and Rossini essentially took the same book, same story, and made rather different operas from them. Have you been involved in both, Derek?
Oh, yes, I've been involved in both as a performer. I've not directed The Marriage of Figaro, but I've sung the role of Basilio and the role of Curzio quite a lot at the Met, in fact, and one of my favorite parts. This Basilio in The Barber of Seville is quite different. First of all, he's a bass baritone in The Barber of Seville. He's a tenor in the Mozart. And he has much more to do in The Barber of Seville. He sings this incredible aria, La Calunnia, which is all about slander. And he's kind of a nasty, evil, treacherous kind of a Jesuit priest.
Basilio.
Yeah, Basilio.
In Seville.
The Jesuits through history have had a reputation for political corruption. And it's even claimed that they started the St. Bartholomew Day's Bartholomew's Day massacre in the 16th century. And in the middle of the 18th century, King Louis XV, he exiled them from the country. So Rossini and Beaumarchais were quite aware of this, and so the character of Don Basilio in The Barber is quite a powerful, wonderful depiction.
Yeah, we could go down a very productive road by talking about the corruption in the church.
I guess so.
So we better just sort of veer back on a slightly different path. What? Give us the rundown of the story as it's presented by Rossini, or really by his librettist.
Well, it's basically it's not a very deep plot. It's kind of a traditional plot. Rosina is the ward of Dr. Bartolo, who is a stuffy, kind of a greedy, stuffy guy. Her parents had passed away, and she is under his protection. He, of course, wants to marry her, not only because she's young and beautiful, but he wants her money. Count Almaviva has seen her in Madrid and followed her down to Seville and even taken a house in Seville. And he comes and serenades her. Changes his name to Lindoro, of course, does not want to give away that he's Count Almaviva. He's dressed as a student, and Lindoro. And, of course, it's kind of love at first sight, and the rest of the opera is Figaro's help in getting the young couple together.
So
and at the end, they do get together.
So Figaro is, in name anyway, a barber, but then barber did a lot more.
Yes,
a lot more trades. Stuff than barbers do now, or just cut hair, and they might shave you today.
Exactly.
Of course, there's Sweeney Todd, but that's another story. So we have with us one of the two barbers who are in the opera. We have the five major roles double cast, and we have two folks from one cast and one from another cast, I guess. Or is this alphabetical? Are you all in the same cast? Okay, I'm just going top bottom, but now I'm seeing all the asterisks.
Yes.
In any event, so Alexander Indelicato is the Figaro of this particular cast. So what are all the things that the barber does professionally in this play, but more particularly in that time? I assume you've researched.
Yes. Yeah. Figaro can basically do anything that you can ask him to do if you have the right price for it. He's in this show, he's more of a kind of matchmaker, I guess, and kind of a troublemaker as well. But they were veterinarians. They would prescribe medicine more than even doctors would, or kind of help for ailments, things like that. Any problems that you would have in the village that you were in, most likely you would go to the barber because they were the most well-known person throughout the village. So any love problems, problems with family, you would go to the barber because he knew everybody. He knew how to kind of play the village and play the people and the situation to his advantage, to a way that he could make money out of it.
So as far as you know, is that specific to this barber, or was all the whole relationship thing, was that common among barbers in the day?
Yeah, it was very common around the Mediterranean and Spanish regions that barbers were kind of the jack of all trades type guy. They were the whatever you needed, you would go to the barber.
So all the barbers listening to this now are going to have designs on doing other sorts of things. So the other characters who we have with us in the role of Count Almaviva is John Gomez. Thanks very much for coming in. And then as his love interest, Rosina, Jacqueline Piccolino. This is one of the characters that is different. The love interest is different in The Marriage of Figaro.
Very different. There is no political overtone to the... Even in the Beaumarchais, the Barber of Seville is the first play. But Mozart took all the political implications, and the Beaumarchais has been known as the prelude to the revolution, where the servants get the better of the nobility. There's really none of that in the Barber of Seville. The Barber of Seville is basically kind of a French drawing room comedy with an overlay of the Italian Commedia dell'arte in the style of it. And it's basically just a lot of fun, lots of laughs. I mean, if anybody comes to this performance, I assure you there will be lots of laughs.
And you have a couple of guest artists that we'll talk about a little later. But why don't we just launch into some of the music? What are we going to start with?
John Gomez is going to sing Almaviva's Serenade, one of the first things he sings in the opera. Ecco ridente in cielo. As dawn comes up, he's singing... He's under the balcony and he's singing to Rosina, hoping that she will come out and meet him.
So this is rather early in the opera.
Right. Yes.
L'amore, felice, ma meno. amare, felice momento. O sorte contento che guano nona, nona che guale nona, che guale nona. Dolce contento che qual non ha che qual non che qual non che qual non ha che qual che qual
John Gomez as Count Almaviva from the opera The Barber of Seville by Gioachino Rossini. And John, where did you come from before getting to University of Illinois?
Hello, everyone. I came from Boston. I went to the Boston Conservatory of Music. Before that, I lived in Miami for about 5 years. And before that, I came from Caracas, Venezuela.
Venezuela. Ooh, there are some other famous Venezuelan tenors on the circuit now, I believe.
Aquiles Machado.
Yeah.
He's one. Yeah.
And is this your first time in this role?
Actually, this is my second time singing this role. I sang 4 years ago in an opera summer program. It's called Siegel Music Colony in upstate New York.
And this may seem a silly question after having just heard that aria, but what are some of the challenges, particularly for this role? I mean, clearly there's plenty of vocal ones.
Yes. This is the bel canto era. Rossini didn't care much for the orchestra. He cared for his singers. And this is about the time in which singers could show off their voices. There's a lot of melismas, which is the fast notes, a lot of high notes, and the tessitura for any of the singers is quite high.
So tessitura meaning the area in the voice where you spend a lot of time.
That's correct.
Essentially.
That's correct.
So you have to be high for a long period of time, which is one thing. You go up there every once in a while. I should probably have phrased that slightly.
And on top of that, you have to be an excellent actor or actress.
Well, that's one of the things I was wondering about, too, whether there are particular acting challenges in this.
Yes. And there's a lot of running, jumping around, going upstairs.
That partly because Professor Siena has made you do these things? He just dreamed up all this. I'm going to make my students jump around and run.
That's part of it.
I leave that to him, too.
Yeah, that's part of it. That's part of it. I have to put in a word also for the I have a unique opportunity here. Not only have I sung this opera, but I'm directing it. And these two gentlemen studied voice with me, too. And the other two, Figaro's and Almaviva, are my students. And I get a chance to, like, watch what they're doing as they're singing as well. I'm also, like, the Italian diction coach. So I'm doing that. So I have a full-time duty. The role of the Count is tricky because he has to be noble. He has to be lovable. He has to be elegant. He also has to have a certain sense of humor because he has to imitate a drunken soldier in one scene and imitate a kind of an annoying Jesuit priest where he kind of imitates Basilio at one point. So he's got to have some acting chops as well, which all of these guys do.
And he doesn't seem to have any of the Don Giovanni edge to him. It seems like there are a lot of noblemen in operas who are not altogether good guys.
That's right.
But this guy, yeah. You're supposed to be sympathetic to him from front to back because you want him to get the girl.
Exactly. He's honest and open and youthful and lovable. Yeah.
You make a comment in your director's note that your performances of this role have strongly influenced how you decided to direct it, in what way, or in what ways?
Well, first of all, I believe that the opera is best presented in its period, and in its time frame. The music has a music is like it has a visual element to it, and this music is all fast. It's very rhythmic. The staging needs to be very precise. The comedy needs to be timed precisely with the music, because that's where it, the way it works best. I actually have never been in a really avant-garde production of it, luckily, but there are enough DVDs of avant-garde productions that I find that all they do is confuse the public. I think it's my job as a director to make everything very clear, to be absolutely with the music, and to also have the comic element, which is very important here.
Are there particular productions you were involved in that were especially influential in your interpretation of in this production that you've been involved in the past?
I can't say. I must say that I have taken little bits of certain ones and used them in this production, some elements. The first one I did was with Boris Goldovsky. Boris Goldovsky, if you remember, used to do the Met broadcasts, be the analyst on the Met broadcasts. And he had started the first really touring opera company in English. Opera in English was kind of a new thing back then. And it was a very tiny company. It was a very small set, but he had a couple of really clever ideas. He was very musically oriented. He actually used to make diagrams of staging, so every staging was precisely. And he used to stage according to tonality. For instance, if a section began in E flat and then modulated to B flat, you'd have a B flat spot on the stage, and you'd have to get back to the E flat spot. So it was a little compulsive. He also hated.
You're not trying that in this one.
No. We're not doing that.
So you're telling me I don't have a spot for a high C in the opera.
Right.
Or do you?
No, I don't think so.
Does
he? No.
Figaro's aria is very interesting, the way I'm doing it. He doesn't just stand and sing. We find him in his bedroom. He's waking up. He has long johns on, which are barber pole striped. And then he gets up and he performs his morning toilet as he sings the aria, which seems only natural to me. First of all, he has an alarm clock that wakes him up by saying la 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 la, and he turns off the alarm clock, and then he sings la 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 la, and sings the aria. He prepares his breakfast. He has a little coffee, some eggs, mixes the eggs, toast pops up, and
so you have him singing while eating.
Mm-hmm. It's just about. He brushes his teeth, and then he gets dressed, and he does his hair and a few things like that, and then he slides down a barber pole from the second floor to the first floor.
Best part of the whole aria.
That's right.
Best part
of the whole aria. And
the best part of the whole.
This guy can do it too. That's really terrific. So, I hope our public will be interested in this kind of exciting staging, and that they will come and see this.
Yeah, well, we're talking with Gerald Sienna, who is the stage director for The Barber of Seville of Rossini, being put on by the University of Illinois School of Music Opera Program. Next week, March 1st through the 4th, that's Thursday through Sunday, evening performances except for the Sunday matinee. And you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. A few more highlights to come. Programs on this station are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, celebrating part 5 of the complete Beethoven Quartet cycle on February 21st, which is tonight. Thanks. Here it says February 21st, 21th. That's interesting. With the Pacifica Quartet. More information is available at krannertcenter.com or 217-333-6280, which are, by the way, the same locations to get tickets for this production, which will be at the Krannert Center next week. What do we have next?
Alexander will sing Largo al factotum, the famous aria.
The most famous one of all from here,
As made famous by Bugs Bunny.
And others, but
and others.
And certain. So before you sing this, Alexander, I have to ask I think I may have seen you in a couple of things, but I know most recently in The Magic Flute, and there you played Papageno, who is a comic character, and here you're playing Figaro, who is a comic character. Is this circumstantial at the moment, or do you tend to gravitate toward these kind of things?
I've been lucky and blessed enough to be able to play roles like this throughout my undergrad and now in grad school as well. If you can ask anybody in here, I'm a big goofball. I can't wait to play the more serious villainous roles when I'm older, but for right now, these are a lot of fun. They're roles that that the audience loves. They're roles that I love to perform. I get to get on stage and just be myself, pretty much just a little different variation of myself when I get up there. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to be able to perform this.
Oh, no, in Papageno, you seem to be doing it quite naturally. So I just might have made the assumption that, this is kind of what he could be like, but then you never know. Okay. Alexander Indelicato as the barber Figaro with Kara Chowning at the piano here on Live and Local.
La 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 largo metodo nella città largo la 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 presto botteghe che la balleggia presto la 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 la. Oh, che bel vivere, che bel piacere, che bel piacere per un barbiere di qualità, di qualità. Ah, bravo Figaro, bravo, bravissimo, bravo. La 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 la. Fortunatissimo per verità, bravo. La 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 la. Fortunatissimo per verità. Fortunatissimo per verità. La 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 la. Pronto per tutto, la notte e il giorno, sempre di torno in giro sta. Miglio cuccagna per un barbiere, vite più nobile non si dà. La 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 la. Rasa di pettini, lacci di forbici, a mio comando tutto qui sta. Rasa di pettini, lacci di forbici, a mio comando tutto qui sta. Ve la risorsa, poi del mestiere. Con la donnetta, col cavaliere,
con la donnetta, la 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 la,
col cavaliere, la 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 la. Che bel vivere, che bel piacere, che bel piacere. Per un barbiere di qualità, di qualità. Tutti mi chiedono, tutti mi vogliono.
Donne, ragazzi,
vecchie fanciulle. Qua la parrucca, presso la barba.
Qua la sanguigna, questo biglietto.
Tutti mi chiedono, tutti mi vogliono. Tutti mi chiedono, tutti mi vogliono. Qua la parrucca, presso la barba, questo biglietto. Figaro, Figaro.
Figaro, 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 Figaro.
Ahimè, ahimè, chi furia, ahimè, chi folla, uno alla volta, per carità, per carità, per carità. Uno alla volta, uno alla volta, per carità.
E Figaro?
Son qua.
E Figaro?
Son qua, Figaro là, Figaro qua, Figaro là, Figaro su, Figaro giù, Figaro su, Figaro giù, pronto prontissimo, forse mi conosci, sono petotum della città, della città, della città, della città, della città. Apro Figaro, bravo bravissimo, apro Figaro, bravo bravissimo, fortunatissimo, 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 non mancherà. La 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 la. A te fortuna, a te fortuna, a te fortuna, non mancherà. Sono il fetatum della città, sono il fetatum della città, della città, della città.
Okay, so tell the truth. How much were you influenced by Bugs Bunny?
You know, I have not seen that since I was a little kid, to be honest. But, I mean, I watched Looney Tunes every morning when I was a little kid. I grew up watching, and I think this kind of adds to the whole comedic, me being doing a lot of comedic roles. I watched a lot of The Honeymooners, Laurel and Hardy, a lot of the really old, really classic stand-up and stand-up comedians as well as slapstick comedians. It was all about timing. It was all about facial expressions, vocal inflection. It wasn't like with, for instance, SNL nowadays is a lot of awkward moments and crude humor. But back then, it was all about the comedians. It was all about thinking on your toes and on the spot timing, and it worked. There's a reason why those old black and white shows are so beloved to this day, and they keep remastering them and finding lost tapes and things like that. So that kind of adds an element to the comedy, I guess. I grew up watching it, so it's something that I've always enjoyed doing, and to be able to kind of add those elements that I've seen over the years into my characters is a lot of fun.
So Laurel and Hardy as Figaro yeah. and Rossini. Why not?
Jackie Gleason, why not?
Yeah.
Art Carney, all the greats.
Well, Robin Williams did it.
Yeah. Did he?
Mrs. Doubtfire.
He did.
And he sang it with wonderful Italian, Do you remember that? The first scene. He's doing this children's program, and he's recording the L'Allegro Factotum.
Mm-hmm.
And he really sings it. He sings all the notes with terrific
Italian.
At the
very beginning. Very
now I have to remember if I've actually seen that movie or not, or if I've just seen highlights of it, because I don't remember this. Now I have to go out and see it.
Yeah, yeah.
So with all of those words, what were you singing about?
I was singing about kind of what we spoke about earlier. I'm introducing myself, basically saying I am the man that the whole city comes to. Those little voices that I was doing were people calling me, asking me to do things for them, like do their hair a certain way, shave their beard, bleed them with leeches to get rid of some kind of ailment they may have, things like that. So
you don't have to do that with anybody in the cast.
Thank God, no.
No.
It's enough. I think it's enough. I've got to slide down a barber pole and make my toast in the morning. I don't want to take it too far.
He does some shaving, however. He does do shaving.
Yes.
But no leeching of anybody.
No leeching.
Yeah, that's probably good. Somebody would. Although, people still use those for things.
They do.
I think as a legitimate medical thing.
New trend now. Again.
Yeah, well, but again, I digress. Sorry about that. Alexander Indelicato with Cara Chowning. In Music from the Barber of Seville by Rossini. It'll be happening at the Krannert Center next week, Thursday through Sunday. And we have somebody else who has a name made for opera, it seems. I mean, Alexander Indelicato, and now we have Jacqueline Piccolino. Are these your real names?
They are.
I mean, the first I saw your names before, I thought, oh, come on, not really.
Very Italian.
Somebody in opera. Yeah.
Very Italian.
Yeah.
So, they're even longer in Italian, too.
What's
they
that?
Are in they're even longer in Italian than they are in English.
Yeah, exactly. So. Does having Italian names make it easy for you to sing in Italian?
You know, some people say, wow, you have such a great Italian accent or something, or you have great Italian. I'm like, none of my parents speak Italian, so I mean, maybe it just comes as a
I grew up in
thing.
A Sicilian family, and my grandfather is very stereotypically Italian, as is my entire extended family, all my cousins and everything. They're so, like, you would think that it's an episode of The Sopranos. It's very stereotypical. So I think just growing up in, whether it be a Hispanic, it's the same thing if you grow up in a Hispanic culture, cultured home. It's you kind of soak in whatever family element and culture that's been passed down through generations, and it's just kind of it's part of who I am. I'm very proud of being Italian American. So
Jacqueline, you have to acquire yours just like everybody else in
yes,
this case, right?
Yes.
How much of a challenge is it to be singing in another language and know what it is you're singing?
You know, it takes a while just to do your translations. And I mean, each word by word translation is what I start out with. And then kind of going back towards the beginning and putting it into my own language. So it kind of makes sense to me so I can kind of portray it a little better, my character. So that's really, I mean, how I do it.
So do you feel that when you're singing, that you're knowing what you're saying in English at all times, In other words, once you have absorbed a language really well, just to learn to speak it, you start thinking in that language. I'm told I never got there with German or Spanish.
Kind of.
Do you feel that starts to happen?
It does start to happen. Time? I mean, I'm new to the language. I just started learning Italian my freshman year, so I'm a junior now, but it's new to me. But you start, I think, kind of thinking in the Italian language when you sing, but I'm starting to get to that point, but not yet.
Soon. What are you going to do for us?
I'll be singing Una Voce Poco Fa.
Another famous one.
Yes.
From The Barber of Seville. And what is the context leading into this?
She is at the balcony where Count and Figaro have come, and Bartolo comes on the balcony, and she has this letter to him, and he sees it, and she tries in her witty way. She kind of gets through things by just throwing her letter out. She's like, "Oh, I just dropped it," and you know, the Count grabs it and he runs away, and Bartolo just gets mad and angry, and then it transitions into her scene in the Bartolo's home, where that's where she starts really her first aria and her introduction of her character.
And you are singing in English?
Oh, no, Italian.
Yes, no, but I mean, what are you singing about?
Oh, in English, basically it's your traditional love song. Una voce poco fa, like a voice, means voice a little while ago. And she kind of confesses kind of her love towards the Count. But towards the second half of the aria, it kind of gives away her character. And she's not only someone to be loved, but she's also kind of a very strong character. And she says that if anybody will touch me or, like, touch my weak spot, she will come at them like a viper.
Ooh.
Snake, yes.
Let's hear it. Jacqueline Piccolino as Rosina from The Barber of Seville. Kara Chowning is at the piano. And it's live on Live and Local.
Suonò il mio cor ferito e già in dor fo che il piago si l'indoro mio sarà lo giurai la vincerò si l'indoro lo giurai, la vincerò. Il tutor riguserò, io l'ingegno guzzerò, alla fin s'accederò, contenta io resterò. Sì, l'indoro mio sarà. Sì, l'indoro mio sarà, lo giurai, lo vincerò. Thank you. guidar me vo guidar. Ma se mi toccano dove il mio debole sarò una vipera sarò e cento trappole prima di cedere farò giocare cento trappole prima di cedere farò giocar farò giocar e cento trappole prima di cedere e cento trappole sono docile, sono ubbidiente, mi lascio reggere, mi fu guidare. Ma se mi toccano dove il mio debole sarò una vipera sarò e cento trappole prima di cedere farò giocar e cento trappole prima di cedere farò giocar e cento trappole farò giocar e cento trappole farò giocare e cento trappole farò giocare farò giocare sì.
Jacqueline Piccolino as Rosina from The Barber of Seville with pianist Kara Chowning. The University of Illinois School of Music Opera Program presenting the opera next week, Thursday through Sunday at the Krannert Center in Urbana. And the three cast members that you're hearing on the show today will be performing on March 1st and 3rd. That's Thursday and Saturday evening. And then there is an alternative cast, a second cast, that are performing on the evening performance on Friday the 2nd and the matinee on Sunday the 4th. We do have all three singers about to come together from near or at the end of the opera.
Yes, near the it's pretty much the final trio. They finally they are together, however they want to escape over the ladder on the balcony, but of course Bartolo and Ambrogio have taken away the ladder. And this is the trio they sing when they are stuck and they don't know what to do at this point.
They're trapped.
We're going to do the last half of it, the fast part. Titi, titi, piano, piano. Quiet, quiet. Let's not have any confusion. Let's go up to the ladder. This is just before they actually discover that the ladder is gone. So they think they're going to get away.
And we know better.
From Kissifa.
Jacqueline Piccolino with John Gomez and Alexander Indelicato, live and live and local.
Che si fa? Che si fa? Dritti piano piano, facciamo confusione, presto andate al balcone, presto andiamo via di qua.
Zitti piano piano,
non facciamo confusione,
presto andate al balcone,
presto andiamo via di qua. Zitti zitti piano piano, non facciamo confusione, presto andate al balcone, presto andiamo via di qua. Presto andate al balcone, dai facciamo via di qua. Piano, piano, per la scala del balcone, presto andiamo via di qua.
Zitti, zitti, piano,
zitti, non facciamo confusione,
per la scala del balcone,
non facciamo via di qua.
per scalare il balcone, la facciamo via di qua. Piano, piano, per la scala del balcone, presto andiamo via di qua.
Zitti, zitti, piano,
piano,
zitti,
zitti,
piano,
piano,
per la scala del balcone, presto andiamo via di qua.
Zitti,
zitti,
piano,
piano,
zitti,
zitti,
piano,
piano,
per la scala del balcone, presto andiamo via di qua. Presto andiamo via di qua, via di qua, via di qua, via di qua.
Nicely done. John W. Gomez as Count Almaviva, Jacqueline Piccolino as Rosina, and Alexandre Delicato as the barber of Seville, who is Figaro, and that is the name of the opera by Rossini, and Cara Chowning at the piano. The production is directed by Gerald Sienna, who is on voice faculty and has been also my guest here on the show. And the conductor for this production is Donald Schleicher. Normally it's Eduardo Diaz-Munoz, who's the artistic director of the opera program. I remember it was before Professor Diaz-Munoz got here that Don Schleicher conducted, I think it was Così fan tutte.
Mm-hmm.
The first
Correct.
Of two productions, which I remember being quite wonderful.
Yes, it was. Yes, he's a wonderful opera conductor. And he comes to all of the staging rehearsals, which is one. Well, Maestro Diaz-Munoz did as well. But, he's very flexible. He's also very in touch with the stage. We have arranged that the tempi are suitable for whatever dramatic situations we need to do. So he's very open to that and very relaxed about that. And he hates to be called maestro. first thing he said to these singers was, for gosh sake, don't call me maestro. I'm just a teacher here at this school. So.
Well, he's more than just a teacher. He's a wonderful
is.
Conductor.
He's a wonderful
he leads
conductor.
The orchestra, symphony yeah. orchestra, and will be conducting this production. Well, thank you all very much for coming in. It's been
thank
great
you.
To
thank
hear you.
It's been a pleasure.
And best of luck on the performances. You've got another week to get it ready.
Yes.
Only a week to get
Only
it ready.
A week.
And Cara has been involved in the full production as well, preparing these singers and all the singers at
and
some level.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
She's been wonderful.
Yeah. I have no doubt.
She's great.
I'm sorry you had only a clavinova to play today.
It's
what we have. That's right. It allows us.
It
allows us to do these things at all. You're listening to 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR and Classical Music for Central Illinois. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And today is Tuesday, I think, so here are some other events in our area you can go see and hear live. A show called The Rivalry is put on by LA Theater Works at the Dowdna Fine Arts Center in Charleston tonight at 7:30. The Cornstalkers Cajun Band and Parkland Traditional Jazz Band are playing at the Iron Post this evening at 5 o'clock. That's in downtown Urbana. Illinois Wesleyan University New Music Cafe is happening at Westbrook Auditorium on the campus in Bloomington. That's tonight at 8 o'clock. Papa Doc and his Roaring Thirties Jazz Band are having their Fat Tuesday celebrations at the Esquire Lounge in Champaign. That's this evening at 6:30. And the Prairieland Dixie Band is at Fat Jack's in Bloomington tonight at 7. We have support for our show from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. I'm Kevin Kelly, back with another show tomorrow at noon. It's a minute past 1:00.